This is Pastor Mike from Jordan Lutheran Church, and you're about to hear one of our Sunday morning messages. At Jordan, we're passionate about learning from the Bible and pray that this message makes an impact in your life.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Anyone remember dating? See, why are y'all laughing? I mentioned dating, and you all start laughing. Either that means you had fun times or it was a scary time and you don't really want to think about it again. All right. So there's a young couple who's dating, and it's one of those pivotal date nights. It is time for the young man to go to the family's house to have dinner, and it's with everybody. Mom, dad, siblings, everyone's gathered there. Now, this is not the first time that this couple has actually had such a meal, but this is the big, like, everybody's there. So, it's best behavior kind of night. Young man sits down at the table, and the lady that he's dating's sister is sitting relatively close to him, and as he sits down, he looks on his plate, and there is a salt lick. I mean, have you ever been to, like, a feed store? I mean, like, a multiple-pound salt lick on the plate. She looks at the man and says, "Well, I just wanted to make sure you had enough salt, because we've noticed how much salt you put on the food, and we didn't want you to run out." Salt. See, I got your attention now. So now we're talking salt today. So when we look at Leviticus 2, you guys are still there, man. You're still at the dinner table. I can tell you're like, really? See, now I'm going to keep you pegged, because I'll get back to the illustration at the end. Don't worry, but you got to stay plugged in this whole sermon, because I'll wrap it up, man, because all the questions you have, I will answer them, but you got to stay awake with me. So like I said, I'm watching, you guys are like, we are in today, man. We are in. All right. So go with me. Leviticus chapter 2. And we're going to head there. And I want you to take a look at the text. And where the text takes us in Leviticus 2 is an interesting passage. We saw just three verses, but very fitting for us. Having just read the entire Bible, Genesis to Revelation, celebration this morning of what that meant this past year. We wanted to make sure that this past year wasn't just about anniversaries and growth or land. We wanted to read the Bible. And here we are now on a celebration day, considering what it is to offer things to God. And this is Leviticus 2:13. "You shall season all your grain offerings with salt. You shall not let the salt of the covenant with your God be missing from your grain offering. With all your offerings, you shall offer salt." So salt is actually placed on the grain offerings as a tangible reminder that what you offer needs to be, get ready, seasoned. And it's got to be seasoned with the covenant of God. That was the salt's purpose. It's not that the salt was making the grain taste better or anything else in that way. It was just, it's seasons because they knew the properties of salt. It could preserve and it could flavor. And your offering, you didn't just give something to God. You gave it with a reminder you're doing it. Why? Because of the covenant God gave to you. So don't just give God something. Give it with the right, get ready, the right motive. You've got to give the grain offering, but you got to make sure that it's seasoned as well. See, God wasn't just asking for the items. He actually cares about how you give it. Some of you have the New Testament passage going forward in your mind right now, right? God loves a cheerful giver. See, it's got to be seasoned right. God doesn't want you to give. He actually wants you to give because you, this is crazy, you want to. That's a very different way of seeing things moving. Now, young boy going to confirmation class. Church that he was at had decided that they didn't want to do confirmation class during the week, so they would add that to Sunday morning. So instead of Sunday school at 9, there would be confirmation at 8. So you'd have confirmation class at 8 to 8:50, then you would have Bible class another hour, and then there'd be church. So a young man's driving in the car, looks at his mother on the way into church and says, "You know, I sure do love God. He only asks for a few hours on Sunday mornings, and I get eternal life." Now, I share that to you because it was me. And this is me as I'm being confirmed. I thought of God as very transactional. If I gave God these things, then I got his stuff. And I viewed church and the interaction with the scriptures and the engagement was just, if I gave him those few hours, he gave me everything. He gave me the world. And here's the craziness, that I could then the rest of the week be very different than Sunday morning. This is not going to shock you. I did not sing hymns up and down the hallway in high school. I'm sorry to bum some of you out. Like, I did not do that in my public high school. I did not walk down the high school and sing Lift High the Cross. Now, everyone, all my friends knew I went to church on Sunday mornings. I spent the night, Saturday night, everybody's like, Merker, why are you up till 2 a.m.? And they knew. The only reason I was allowed to is because a pickup truck would come by at 7:30 in the morning. And if I wasn't in a pickup truck, and then my parents found out I wasn't at church, then there were no more late Saturday nights. That was the rule in my household. I mean, I was very much engaged, but I really viewed that, hey, if I just did some things, then God would have to. You hear that? God would have to give me something in return because I gave him my Sunday morning. And that's a lot, right? Some of you are like, yeah, that's right, Pastor. It was difficult to get up this morning. You know what? You don't understand how difficult it was for me to get here. See, the transactional piece is real in many of our lives, where some of you are like, I'm actually glad you acknowledged that this morning, Pastor, because it was not an easy morning. Some of you will now have something different to talk about over coffee at the end of the service. You'll say, yeah, your difficult day too, mine as well. That is not why I bring it up. I actually brought it up to let you know it's not transactional at all. God's not actually gauging how difficult your Sunday morning wake-up call was. We're here to give thanks to a God who's given us everything. I was wrong as a child to see it in that way. Now, 11 years ago, we began our first service in this theater. And it's crazy to think over 11 years how much we have changed, how much I have changed. My wife knows it, how many more gray hairs I have. I'm sorry. Some of you tell me, Pastor, don't get older. And I've looked at people over these years and I've said, I don't know how to stop it, man. I've aged the exact same number of years that you have. I understand I'm still younger than some of you, but at least proportionally I'm aging, and the gap between us proportionally is actually getting tighter as age moves forward. But here's why I bring up anniversaries, because the crazy thing on a day like today is anniversaries are a stumbling block for us. Because on an anniversary, do you know what is easy to preach? We did it. We did awesome. We're great. Guess what? We are not great. And we did not do it. We did all the things we should not have done. We get wrapped up in all the things that we figure is about us. You're like, well, this is a bummer of an 11th anniversary. I'm just waiting for your illustration. I'm waiting for the Salt Lick story. I know you are. That's why I've got you. That's why I used that to keep you in, to keep you where I need to be. So along our cycle of things that have happened here, one story that has struck me, and it's just stayed with me, we had a new family that was visiting us. This was several years ago, and someone had asked them, said, hey, how did you come to know about our congregation? And someone said, oh, you know, we had gotten a mail or something that we had just distributed in a piece. And a person in the lobby, I mean, they actually said this. They looked at the person, looked at the guest, and said, I can't believe that worked. Really? Like that? Now, here's the two problems with that. The first is, church isn't a gimmick. I work very hard to hopefully get you to realize it is not marketing that gets people to church. It's not that we can't use marketing tools. There are very savvy people in this room. But when you say, I can't believe that worked, here's the second problem. You actually think that marketing got someone here. And you've misplaced the reality. What gets people here is not marketing. You just don't realize that it's actually the Holy Spirit. And you forgot to give credit to God for what he's already done. The journey to bring someone into a movie theater who is accustomed to other things for church is long and arduous. Do you know the hardest footsteps that people take in this church? It is from that parking lot to this room. I've had many of you who are sitting here before me who said, you know, once I actually made it into the seat, you're like, yeah, the seat. Hey, Pastor, about that build we're doing. Yeah, I know. We've had the seat discussion before. But once you get in, you realize it's a blank tapestry, meaning our time together is one where God gets to paint that as we go to the scriptures. But it's difficult for us to do so many things to move from what we think God is saying to what he actually is saying. Church is not trickery. Church is not marketing. Church is not gimmick. Church is Christ. We're back to Leviticus 2. When the grain offering is brought, you had to make sure to do what? Bring salt with it to not forget what seasons the offering. And the season of all our offerings in this place is none other than Jesus Christ. Everything we do has to be seasoned in Jesus. I mean, some of you are like, So Jesus is kind of like my marinade? Yeah, kind of. And like a good marinade, it's got to sit in there. It's got to actually get inside and actually percolate down. Jesus is not something you just kind of put on like a baseball cap. Jesus is not like my false assumption when I was going through confirmation. If I could just get through confirmation, then I'll be done and I've got a badge that now saves me. No. Confirmation is not a badge. It's not something that I wear. It's a reminder I'm trying to season my life with Christ. Why do we gather on Sundays? So that I might be seasoned with Christ. Now, as you move ahead, I want to take you, I'm going to jump you one place before we get over to Matthew, because I want to connect Leviticus 2 to Matthew 5, that Sermon on the Mount, that excerpt that's set there. This is Paul. He writes to the church in Corinth, his third missionary journey, and he says these words, "And when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom." He did not come with lofty speech or wisdom. So many people say, man, Paul's so articulate in Romans. Paul's got all these different things. But Paul also understood Paul wasn't the reason people came to Christ. Don't miss that. Man, if only I could preach like Paul. No, if only you could preach Christ. That's it. You don't have to be Paul. You don't have to travel on 1, 2, 3, 4 missionary journeys. You do not have to be in prison in Rome. You just need to know what Paul seasoned everything with was Christ. No lofty speech. You don't have to get a degree in rhetoric. You just need to know that Christ is what brought you here. Led by the Spirit, we're in this place for God to do infinitely more than we can imagine. And we have been, get ready, seasoned. We have been seasoned in life. There's no gimmick. There's no wordplay in this place. Church should be a place where things are simple. You know what the challenge is? Today's world is so quick with messages that churches are now competing with each other in wordplay, and it is distorting the plain message that Jesus is the center linchpin of everything. Look at the next thing you hear from a church or see that maybe comes to your door. And please, don't then think that that church is a problem. That's not what I'm trying to share with you. But it is unfortunate that churches are now competing on a marketing level rather than competing on something. Ready? Come to our church. We preach, ready? Christ. I do not see that as often these days, but I hear about coffee bars, and I hear about effective this and that, and I hear about all these different things, but very few actually say, I've actually seen, we are not your grandmother's church. I'm sorry, man, you guys ready for this? My grandma would love to be in this church, and I'm proud of that. I do not have a problem that my grandmother could have sat in this church. Now, she would have said a couple weird things, I'm going to be honest. She'd be like, Mike, the screen's got to go. We got to change the music. A couple other things we're going to adjust, but I do like the preaching. I'm all right with that. So I'm just going to let you know, I'm going to be real about my grandmother would have had some opinions. She would have shared them with you all. But I'm okay that my grandma would have come here. That's not a problem. Because seasoning shouldn't change the fundamental core. The seasoning that is our life is always Christ. And unfortunately, at times, Christendom, and please, this is not a denomination, this is a Christendom thing. We think that Christ isn't enough. Christ does infinitely more than any marketing gimmick or other piece. And if you don't think so, then you have a small, distorted view of God. God is significantly larger than any limitation. Paul moves forward, same passage, taking verse 2 through 5, still in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. For I decided to know, you ready for this? I decided to know nothing. This is Paul. For I decided to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Does that sound like a guy who really wanted to get every single nitty-gritty detail down? You're like, but he had them. I know. He was a learned man, but he made his central focus, his seasoning, the salt in his life, the salt in his preaching was Christ alone. For I decided to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. For I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. Remember our first commandment as we're walking through that this month. This is what we're going to be doing over the coming year, walking through each month, looking at one of the commandments, building on them, and realizing we've got to have a solid ground before we can ever intend to break ground. A church can't break ground without a solid ground to begin with. If we build a building that doesn't have a solid foundation, you guys will not like it. Because you will walk into it and you will go, huh. Pastor, have you noticed the altar is leaning? It's leaning. But the foundation isn't just a physical one, it's a spiritual one. And as we build that, Paul writes exactly that. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and power. So that, here's the so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but the power of God. May you never say, man, our pastor was so articulate, he nailed it. Without adding, I'm glad he uses the best text in the world. You see the difference? It's not me. It's I just got a great text. Some of you heard me say that. Pastor's a great sermon. I said, I got the best text in the world, man. The best. The Bible gives us everything we need. We just have to actually hear it again for the first time. And we need that every 7 days. Some of us might say, well, you know, actually a Tuesday service and a Thursday wouldn't hurt me some weeks. I could probably use the refresh. Pastor, you don't know how I felt on Monday this past week. I really could have used a refresh on Tuesday. Well, then we move to the gospel. And we've still got Leviticus 2 in our background. And don't worry, I still know I got a young man sitting at a table. And he's got a young lady who lovingly put a salt lick on his plate. I mean, it's real. Just so you know, I'm setting you just a real story. So don't worry, we'll wrap it up. But now we move to Matthew. This is the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. You are, Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Get ready. What Jesus actually does there is connect so many things from the Old Testament. The salt that used to season the grain offerings, guess what? You are now that salt. You are the thing that seasons the world. He moves forward then in verse 14 and goes on and says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill can't be hidden. Not only are you the salt that seasons the rest of the world, you're actually a lamp that's lighting. Think of the great lighthouse. If you're familiar with the seven wonders of the world, there was a great lighthouse that was set up. I mean, you are the lighthouse that is a beacon. This is someone to my, your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. But not only that, you are actually a light to the world. Some of you are like, really? God thinks that much of me? He does. Don't miss that. This is the crazy joy of the gospel. God lets you and me be the salt. And some of you are like, well, actually, I was talking to my cardiologist and some of my internists, and they have suggested that I have too much salt in my diet. You are missing the point. This is about salt as a flavoring and a preservative. So if you're hung up on salt, you've missed what this is. The preservative as well as this flavoring that God has given us that we actually flavor the world. The church, oddly enough, isn't about complex things. I hope you guys know that after today. The crazy thing is the church is about simple things that we've made complex. Jesus isn't actually that complex. Jesus, the very Son of God, took on human flesh, came so that he could live this world, offered himself willingly on a cross for you and for me, so that in his death, which I am connected through the waters of baptism, the very font, whether it be this one or another in your life or a stream or at someone's house, wherever that took place, in a pool, at a lake, it doesn't matter, that connection connects you to Christ's death and resurrection. Your life is completely changed and seasoned. Your life is forever different, and you remain in the Lord's faithfulness. You're safe in God's faithfulness. God has made us the salt of the world to flavor this world. So there he was, sitting at the table, and a young man is just torn apart. Because the man who's torn apart was my dad. My dad, many of you know, is a man who does not like to have surprises on him. And it ripped him up that people saw him in that way. Because he was trying to be ever a gentleman. But I share this story for this reason. I share it because I thank the Lord every single day that my father seasoned my life, not with a salt lick, but with Christ. And whether it is your father who seasoned your life, or whether it is your mother, or your neighbor, or someone else in this congregation that brought you here, God has gifted you with someone who has seasoned your life. Thank God for the person who seasoned you. Thank God for the Holy Spirit that has brought you to this place so that you might continue to be seasoned and aged like a great wine or a good cheese or anything else that you know ages, because God is preserving us. Salt isn't something that's bad. It's a great story to remind us that as we are seasoned so that we might echo Christ. Our Lord saw fit to bring Christ in so that we might be able, led by the Spirit, to take Christ out from this place into our world, knowing that we are safe in God's faithfulness. Amen.
We're glad you've connected with us online and look forward to the opportunity to see you in person. On behalf of everyone at Jordan, We hope you will join us as we gather in worship of our Savior, Jesus Christ, every Sunday morning at 9:30 at Beaver Creek Cinemas in the Peak of Good Living, Apex, North Carolina.